I'm not saying I spent the first morning as an engaged man watching Two Stupid Dogs, but I did.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And rumors are the word this week.
Yeah.
Also, Ant-Man is releasing soon.
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil Season 2 has a fully loaded cast.
Yeah.
Star Wars gets us hyped.
And more.
Definitely more. I like the more part is really the best part of the show.
Now, I think the biggest rumor so far this week is, I mean, I've heard it through the sources. I think it's been leaked. But I think there's some big news on your end. I'm not too sure what it is. I think you should clear it up for us.
Yeah. You may have heard I had my 10-year class reunion yesterday.
That's
not what you heard?
No.
Oh.
That's a little disappointing. I was hoping for a little bit more.
Well, to be fair, there was I'm gonna do a shout out to JT Zappi and a guy I went to high school with. Listens to our podcast every week. DC fan, so we need to work on that.
So that's the news?
Oh yeah, I also got engaged.
Oh, Barry in the lead. Congratulations. Join in the club. Do 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 do.
Thank you. I'm probably not going to put on real music over that, but I appreciate your jam.
So it sounds like maybe roughly around this time next year, we could have a marriage podcast.
Well, what I'm hoping to do is have a bachelor party podcast.
Ooh.
Where only the best people are going to make it into this crowd. So, I mean, that'll be the podcast to have.
Oh man, see, this is what happens when people podcast and get married. We just audio record it.
Yeah. Oh man, there's going to be so many video games played that night.
Oh man, that's awesome though. But sincerely, congratulations. That's so cool.
Thank you. You inspired me along the way. So.
Why don't you let our audience know your lovely fiance's name and introduce her, even though she's probably not right next to you right now.
No, she's actually out shopping at Joanne's Fabrics and Crafts, I think.
Oh, okay.
She's really excited. She's already all over this. But her name's Rachel.
Okay.
And she's a fifth grade English teacher / social studies teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she's good with kids.
Did the comic books you read are just right at the reading level that she teaches then?
Yeah, I wish. I actually have a bunch. When I went to C2E2, I picked up a graphic novel for her class.
Oh, that's cool.
It's called Love the Tiger, and it has zero words. So it's about a graphic novel in the day of the life of a tiger in the jungle.
I would have loved that. I hate reading in elementary school.
Yeah, and a lot of her kids go to the library. They say they ask for comics. You know, comic books tear up, so like graphic novels. So I'm trying to find some to help cultivate those young minds as well.
That's so cool. That would be a really cool maybe charity. Maybe that's something that Superhero Slate could like start in the future. We could get donations of like, you know, graphic novels and stuff like that. Something like you said that would be put up to the punishment of
kids.
Yeah,
and that's what I was thinking. You know, like maybe if we can get enough funds, I can buy one a month. And just
cool.
You know, give it to them age appropriate, of course. I'm not gonna hand them like, you know, whatever that movie's coming out this week. Kingsman comes out on DVD Tuesday.
they're not gonna get that.
But at the same time, like, you're right. Like I think it would be awesome to help grow comics and graphic novels in the classroom.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, if you guys out there like that idea, let us know. Send us an email or tweet at us. Tweeting seems to be the best way to get a hold of us. Either tweet at us or the show, and just let us know if you think that's a good idea, and maybe we can start making plans in the future to do that.
You have experience fundraising with your comic site.
Yeah,
I've
done some stuff on Indiegogo, but yeah, there's even better ways to do that kind of stuff right now. But okay, that's cool. We got ideas. We got future stuff.
We're totes excited for me and for the kids of the future.
Yeah, but forget about all that marriage stuff. We want to talk about superhero
stuff. Yeah, that's right. We're gonna leave independent Chris here. We don't want to kill independent Chris, so we're not going to bring that into this. So, Wonder Woman left this off last week. One of our new favorite trends is to actually make the featured image that you create every week. Uh-huh. He creates it before we record the show. We do the show and then they leave something off.
This will be a little bit of trivia. If you guys want some extra bonus points, there's an episode out there where there's something in the featured image and we don't talk about it in that episode.
Not at all.
So we've only done it once so far. It's only made it published once, but last week we almost had Chris Pine on our featured image.
Yes.
But we totally forgot to talk about it.
We did. Chris Pine is up for Steve Trevor in Wonder Woman.
Yeah, do you know anything about Steve Trevor?
I do. DC issue here, I've been researching some more of this stuff as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Trevor is the love interest of Wonder Woman.
Man, that's got to be a very, very uneven relationship.
Yeah, I don't think her identity is known, even though, like, it's just her in, like, an Amazonian outfit, I suppose. But Steve Trevor, in the modern books, I think it's the New 52, which doesn't exist anymore. The DC Comics world's just kind of crazy right now. But Steve Trevor is, like, I think he's, like, a financial person, a stockbroker, some mm-hmm. businessman, and that's the love interest for Diane.
I'm sure in the movie universe it might be a little different, but, geez, in the comics, how does a normal guy compete with Superman? I mean, really, because, I mean, Superman and Wonder Woman hook up once in a while, I believe.
I don't know. I guess you just have to have suaveness?
Yeah, I'm sure they explain it in the comics, like, somehow, like, well, he might not be a superhero, but he loves me, and I love him, or something like that. But, I don't know, Chris Pine's pretty cool. But the thing is, I imagine this being a... Well, I guess if it's for the Wonder Woman movie, he would have pretty decent screen time. I don't know. For some reason, I just expect every DC casting announcement, they're just going to pop up in Batman Superman for 3 seconds, because that seems to be the trend right now. Is like, if you're cast, you're making a cameo in that movie. That's the only way we can set you up with a cameo.
Honestly, it feels for the DC cinematic universe that they're focusing on Batman versus Superman, Suicide mm-hmm. Squad, and then Wonder Woman, which is actually not the next movie. I think Wonder Woman's like a couple years out.
Oh, really?
If I remember correctly, I don't know, I'll have to look it up real quick. But I mean, I feel like they're not putting enough time and effort into the other films that are coming along the way, kind of like Marvel does. Mm-hmm. We all know Marvel, I think, you know, I lied. Wonder Woman is 2017, it's the first movie afterwards. Okay. I apologize. I my assumption was Wonder Woman was like a 2018 film. But that's the mm-hmm. Flash and Aquaman.
And okay. Man, I don't think I'm more excited about any DC movie right now than I am the Flash. I just really want to see that big budget special effects being brought to the Flash's powers. Because as we said before, the Flash TV show could use a little bit of help on those effects. But they do a pretty decent job. But anyway, Chris Pine is a pretty good pull. He's a big name. He's definitely been integrated in the geek culture by now with the Star Trek movies. So I'm okay with this.
Yeah, Chris Pine, he's got the charisma and the energy. I saw him last in Into the Woods, which I really didn't care, and I didn't care for him mm-hmm. But I think he does have that. He was Prince Charming in that, and he does kind of have that kind of vibe about him in his characters.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, how do you make normal humans in a DC universe just useful? Like Lois Lane in the new Superman movie that came out. I mean, was she even useful? Did she really do anything? I mean, she kind of like did some reporting, I suppose. But I mean, like, it's kind of a weird unbalance, because when you talk about the DC movies, you're talking about these gods, you know, that have unlimited power, and then you just have the humans that are just kind of like trying their best to get out of the way. But good on Steve Trevor for getting into that Wonder Woman's bedroom.
Right? Maybe he rode in her invisible jet and she used her lasso of truth on him.
I'm going to be explicit, but she's going to break that cock off.
Wow. This show just went to a whole new level.
I'm going to break your dick off. That's what's that from? That's from Beer Fest,
It probably is. Hashtag break your dick off.
Oh, and that shouldn't be a hashtag.
we'll see if it becomes one by next week.
Yeah, you know, I looked at our iTunes page and I saw that we had that explicit little badge on there. So I was like, if we're going to have that explicit badge, I'm not going to pussyfoot around it.
I specifically put on there for the one time or two times that I've slipped up and said, you know, the fuck word or whatever. Uh-huh. But, like, you never know when something's going to go down. So we just prepare for all eventualities.
Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of like one of those things, like, if we have a younger audience out there that likes to listen to the show, do we want to? I don't think we should care. You know what? Because, you know, if I was younger, I would feel super cool if I was listening to a show with swear words. Because it's not like my parents have earphones on listening to what I'm listening to.
They're free. Your parents can't tell you not to buy them.
Yeah, that's right. See, we're giving you free swear words.
That's right.
Oh, we're awful. We're
the worst.
Next. Oh, man. It's okay. It's okay,
yeah,
kids.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, just remember you're not Aquaman. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Oh, God, that was a weird
It was
segue.
The best segue. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, man.
So Aquaman is another movie. It's coming out in 2018. It's actually after The Flash, mm-hmm. according to this screen I'm looking at here. They have a director for it, James Wan. Recently did Fast and Furious 7.
I looked up this dude. I mean, Fast and the Furious 7 might be his best credit for an action movie, but the majority of his work seems to be like horror movies. I think he wrote one Saw movie. I think he directed the first one. I think he did The Conjuring and like some other like just horror movies here and there. But this will be cool. I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah, after Fast and Furious 7 broke $1 billion at the box office, like, he's probably a hot mm-hmm. commodity right now. And if DC can lock him down, like, might as well. And mm-hmm. we also discovered Kurt Johnstadt is writing the script. And I know mm-hmm. most of his work is from 300 and 300 Rise of an Empire, the movies. So mm-hmm. they're working towards their Aquaman. They're working towards their other properties. And I kind of want to see Aquaman in Batman versus Superman. I want to see what his cameo is.
Yeah, I mean, this is just going to be a really cool movie. You know, we keep talking about just the different direction that DC's taking. You know, I want to see what they're going to do with Aquaman. You know, Aquaman is normally, he seems to be a lighthearted character in some of the cartoons that I've seen him in. Obviously, there are cartoons. You know, I haven't had a whole lot of experience with Aquaman and the comic books and stuff like that. So, you know, just throw it at me. I feel like just with these DC movies, I just need to shed all of these preconceived notions I have on me, and I just need to go in there just ready to take on what they're going to give me. But it's a while away. The thing is, we'll probably have totally different opinions on these movies once we see Batman and Superman, because we keep saying that movie is going to be the determining factor on their whole franchise. So, man, if it does well, we might have a little different tone in our voice when we talk
about
it.
It's true. We'll have to see as it gets closer. But, again, I'm glad they're working on it and not putting it off till the last minute.
Yeah, these movies are going. Yeah,
they're going to happen. They're an eventuality, and mm-hmm. we just need to accept them now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Suicide Squad. That's coming out next year. Like I said, this is turning out to be the Batman movie without hardly any Batman in it. so I'm kind of excited to see where that goes.
It looks like we got some
set
photos.
We have a photo of Deadshot, played by Will Smith, on set mm-hmm. in his mask.
Yeah, nothing like getting that super well-known actor and putting a
mask
on.
That's right, especially with this grainy photography from a distance. So as the image, which you'll see on your screen here, he covers his left eye, and that's one that's like an enhanced, helps him shoot and scope things. Deadshot, mm-hmm. I think he was in one of the Arkham games, Arkham Origins.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in one of those, like, cinematic trailers.
Yeah, so he's in Arkham Origins. I believe, was he in Arrow?
Yeah, Deadshot was
in
Arrow.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's been in a few different properties, and, you know, he finally gets to become a big screen character through Will Smith, which is, you know, no small feat either. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that. However, I did notice that the helmet he has looks a lot like a creature called the Silence from Doctor Who. Yeah. And I don't know if you can see it, because you're not familiar with Doctor Who, but I don't know if you can see that or not.
Is the Silence like a big character from Doctor Who, or is it just like a monster of the week type monster?
It's a monster of like a season or two. Whenever you see them, you instantly, like, as soon as they leave your view, you forget everything up until that point that you've seen them. Like, It's weird, but either way, it looks like their face. Like, his helmet looks it like must, their face.
Yeah, it must be those white eye sockets.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can go either way. I want to see how they use this on set.
Man, I don't know about you, but ever since that Suicide Squad photo came out, the official photo of all of the members of the squad, mm-hmm. like, it's hard for me to take the movie seriously. I feel like this movie is just going to be a big goof around. You know, you got a lot of these random characters with really random looks. Like, there's kind of no cohesive look going through it, and it doesn't feel like a dark movie. It just feels like it's just going to be this really goofy thing with a lot of these, like, characters just, like, goofing on each other. You know, like, you got the Joker and you got Harley Quinn at the center with just, like, crazy voices and stuff like that, and just they look weird. I don't know, it's hard for me to take this movie seriously now. I just feel like I don't get any sort of, like drama from it. It's just all just goofiness.
I think they're shooting for that Guardians of the Galaxy kind of vibe, but I feel it's overstuffed. Mm-hmm. Like, you I wanted a pepperoni pizza, but they gave me, like, the meat lovers, and it's a bold move, because Suicide Squad's only been on Arrow before, so yeah. I don't know, I'm interested. I'm not sold on the look yet, but again, this is a grainy photo from a distance. Let's see some footage at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, we'll just have to see if it pays off. Man, San Diego Comic-Con, that's next month, that's next man.
E3 is, like, in this month. And
E3 is, like, next week. Yeah,
the Apple Development Conference, where they announced the next iOS, is tomorrow. Yeah, oh, well, really? Today, if you're listening to this podcast. But, yeah, it's, like, yeah. iOS 9 and all of their new goodies for the year will be announced tomorrow.
Man, there's just lots of exciting stuff coming up. Man, I can't... And then Ant-Man's coming up. That's coming up so soon. That's, like, I'm just, like, the heels right now.
Yeah, Ant-Man, I'm my excitement for this is slowly building. I've always said I've been excited for Ant-Man. One of their newer TV trailers, I decided to watch it because I don't feel like they're spoiling a whole lot. Got me mm-hmm. even more hyped. I'm ready to see Ant-Man. I'm ready to see Yellowjacket and all the story and how it plays in. So, some news we got on Ant-Man, that Spider-Man / Oscorp will factor into this movie.
Hmm. I mean, I wonder if Spider-Man is just factored in by association of Oscorp, because I can easily see Oscorp being factored in because, you know, it's just another facility for science, which very much connects with Hank Pym and just Ant-Man in general. But if it kind of makes sense, you know, Spider is from spider experimentation, so I don't know. I think it could tie together.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to say, well, careful, Ant-Man, the Spider-Man will trap you in his web kind of deal. Like, I'm not trying to be like that guy, but, I mean, that's my association with this here.
I'm not looking for a screenwriting credit, but I would take it if they put
story
that
by Chris Dillard. but Oscorp, I mean, honestly, Ant-Man almost was mentioned in the original Thor movie. Yeah, oh, really? It was a scene that was cut out where they're sitting on top of the place in Arizona after S.H.I.E.L.D. takes all of their equipment. Mm-hmm. The professor, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I feel horrible for it. Selvig.
Oh,
Selvig.
Man, I can't. Yeah, that's what I knew.
Selvig. He's like, well, I knew a guy, you know, back then, and he was mentioning Bruce Banner. Well, there was another. He's like, yeah, I'll call some people that I know to see what we can do. And it was a reference to Ant-Man, the Hank Pym that he knows, because they're the same. You know, they're older men. Like, so it was mm-hmm. actually building this older Hank Pym from Thor 2011. They had this planned out 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see how this will factor in. It'll be mentioned, I think, in passing, but it will be there saying Ant-Man exists in Marvel's world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, I mean, I'm looking forward to Ant-Man, pun not intended, but I'm looking forward to the scale of the movie. You know, I kind of like the idea of being able to see another Marvel movie soon that doesn't have to incorporate so much. You know, it's going to be very narrowed down with this focus. It's going to focus on just a couple characters. You know, we're not going to get this huge summer blockbuster necessarily. So I'm looking forward to that.
You're spot on. Like, this is not going to be... This is going to be a character film, I feel. Mm-hmm. Also, the official site for Ant-Man popped up this week. We have mm-hmm. a new synopsis for the film. I'm just going to... Or description of the film, of the Pym Particles. The Pym particles are discovered by Hank Pym to make Ant-Man shrink. So I'm just going to read these off. These are not going to be in our show notes. I'm just going to read them off here.
Yeah, lay it on
Dr. us. Henry Pym, played by Michael Douglas, originally discovered and isolated a rare group of subatomic particles, which had become known as the Pym particles, which could increase or decrease the size and mass of objects or living things. The description continues. The Pym particles work by stunting matter into the cosmos dimension when shrinking a subject, or accruing extra matter from that dimension when enlarging.
Oh, so, I mean, if they're bringing up enlarging, you know, that kind of might say, oh, going back to the normal size, but this could lean into giant
exactly.
man.
Exactly, and he says living things, like, I don't know if you've watched Marvel's or Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon show. Ant-Man develops these discs that can shrink other things. He shoots the disc at them, and it shrinks them down. Oh, and that's cool. He uses it to save some people with that. So.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm fairly confident that we will see Giant Man at some point in time. I don't know if they'll necessarily call him Giant Man. They'll just probably call him Scott, Scott Lang. But I don't expect to see a Giant Man in this movie. I think they're gonna stick to that smaller scale. But I definitely could see in Infinity War Part 2, just a fucking giant Scott Lang just, like, picking up Thanos and just, like, throwing him into, like, a meteor or something like that. That'd be so cool.
I'm banking on actual Civil War, because Giant Man played a big part in Civil War. So I'm really thinking, you know, we'll see that come Civil War first.
Oh, that would be a cool little secret. I like it when we don't know everything that's coming. So hopefully we don't get a glimpse of Giant Man in any Civil War trailers.
Oh yeah, sorry Marvel, don't listen to my ideas. We'll ruin it for Mike.
No, you can listen to him. Just go put it in the trailer.
Also on the site, they have released the Ant-Man size scale, an image, to show when Ant-Man shrunk down, how big is he actually? And we talked about this a little bit. You're like, well, he's bigger than the ant. How does he ride on that ant? Well, that's a house ant.
He's going to ride on a bigger ant, I guess. There's a different classification for ants,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, ants with wings are the ones I'm looking out for. Those are scary.
You know who I really want to talk to? I want to get the person that they brought on set, the ant expert, and I want to talk to the ant expert, because you know they had to talk to someone that knew everything about insects, and he's probably on set. You know, I like to imagine he's the coolest guy on the set. He's like super charismatic. He knows everything about bugs. Like, I have a feeling like he's sitting down at lunch with the crew and he's just got like these bugs in his pocket and he's just like, hey, you want to look at these bugs? I brought bugs. And everyone's just like, God, don't bring the bugs out when we're eating. He's like, but I know all these facts about these bugs. And then he got fired.
Wow, that escalated pretty quickly. I was drawing a conclusion to Phil Tippett from Jurassic Park, the dinosaur supervisor. So you have your ant supervisor on set.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's going to be an ant supervisor, and if anybody knows who that is, let us know, because I want to send him a tweet and ask him something about ants.
I am fully waiting for the porn version of this called Ant-Man, A-U-N-T, man. Oh. Yeah, exactly. So that was funny, because my fiance, I can say that now, just opened the door and was looking at me when I said that line. So now probably is like, you're not allowed to do your podcast anymore if you're talking about that.
Killing independent Chris.
But the image shows how big Ant-Man is compared to a paperclip. And I think that's probably a good indication of how small he's going to be on the film.
Yeah, he will be visible to the naked eye.
Yes, but it will be like, whenever you go to his size, everything's going to look crazy awesome.
Mm-hmm. Man, this is going to be exciting. I'm starting to get excited for Ant-Man. I need to, like you said, I need to dig up some trailers. Maybe watch one of those TV spots, because you said they're not really revealing much.
Yeah, correct. They're actually showing a little more of his abilities and the look of the film, and a little more humor as well.
You know what? Now that I think about it, when does this movie come out?
I think it's July 17th.
July. Okay, so. Oh, that'll be right around Comic-Con. I think that'll probably be the weekend before Comic-Con, if I believe.
It's going to be very close. I think it's right before.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens, but I'm excited.
That'll bring us to the next thing we might see at Comic-Con is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3. I'm excited for this because I really like the show. A lot of people may not, but I do. Two things. Luke Mitchell, who plays the inhuman character with electric abilities, Lincoln, he'll be back for next. He's now a series regular, so we'll probably see him in a lot of episodes.
I thought he was pretty cool. I like his powers. Whenever I see a TV show that is keeping a character regular, it's usually because their powers are relatively easy to recreate on television, and his and electricity doesn't seem to be too CG intensive. So I think this will work out pretty well for him.
Right, and Henry Simmons, who plays Mac, is actually as a series regular. I didn't expect him to come back at all, actually. So that's interesting. He last we saw him, he chopped off the hand of Phil Coulson.
Yeah, so I'm expecting a really. I'm kind of hoping he gets a cool robot arm instead of getting a I don't know. I feel like they're gonna find a way to regrow his flesh. But I want to get like a crazy robot arm. I want him to have a little bit of deathlock.
I think they will go the deathlock approach, and that'll be also something to work on this season is the machine element of the man.
Yeah, and I think it'll give Coulson his own little bit of superpower. You know, he'll be able to grab people and maybe throw them really easily, or maybe he can put his arm up and block some bullets. That'll be
pretty cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. So season three, S.H.I.E.L.D. get us some regulars.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to tell everybody my opinion on S.H.I.E.L.D. has turned around. I mean, I tried to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. as much as I could on our TV special a couple weeks ago, but obviously we had a lot of cooks in the kitchen there.
We had a panel. We
had a lot of panels, so we didn't really get to. I don't think we didn't get our opinions out there that much because we really wanted to hear what our guests had to say mostly. But yeah, I got turned around on S.H.I.E.L.D. towards that last kind of quarter of the show. You know, I thought it cranked up pretty good. You know, I think I just kind of had to, not necessarily lower my expectations, but I think I just kind of had to just understand the world that they were working in a little bit more. I still don't think it's my favorite superhero show, but I'm definitely looking forward to season three now. And that's a pretty big turnaround for me. I don't think people out there are as critical as I am, so they're probably loving it even more. So if you were on the fence out there earlier, you know, maybe just skip to the second half of the second season and maybe just read a synopsis on what happened. But it's cool now. I'm okay with
you. Or you can
binge
watch it on Netflix starting this month.
Oh, that's true.
So that's a really quick turnaround for a TV show to get on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm really glad to hear that you're into it. I've always been a big proponent of it. I suffered through the first season, but the second season, I think it kicked it up. I really like Cal, the guy who was from Twin Peaks. This guy's dad. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a really, really good addition to the show. And once we met the Inhumans, that set up the Inhumans movie, which is one of my favorite things. I have, again, a poster dedicated to Inhumans in front of me when I record the show. So I'm good. I'm glad you like it. I'm ready to look forward to season three and the superheroes.
Yeah, we'll talk about the season premiere in a couple months, and we'll kind of speculate where we think the season's going to go.
Yeah. So just in, I was handed a ring pop with Iron Man on it.
This just in.
Breaking news. I love ring pops. I always tease that I would propose with a ring pop because, they're delicious.
Oh, so she was out shopping and
she got me a Marvel ring pop. Like, it's not even just a ring pop. It's an Iron Man ring pop.
Oh, and know what she's did? She looked at that ring pop and she's like, I'm going to buy that for my fiance.
That's right. Now people will know I am hers for all of like 30 seconds. This is on my finger.
Oh, man. Oh, man. She's smitten right now.
Smitten,
she's totally smitten.
Like a kitten
She's on cloud nine. She's got that engagement euphoria. Uh-huh. Like, she's going to be looking down at that engagement ring like constantly for like the next three
weeks.
Yeah,
we got to go get a resize. So we'll see that adventure.
Oh. Well, yeah, it doesn't take too long, but yeah. Oh,
anyways.
Man. Look forward to your future.
This is a very personal podcast, unlike any other we've been across. We're going to jump into some more rumors. This is a big rumor segment coming up here.
Let's just go crazy.
So first off, Captain Marvel. That's a movie Marvel's working on. Biggest rumor right now, and this could make sense or this could not make sense, Angelina Jolie is the one director for this movie.
Okay.
However, there are rumors after Mad Max Fury Road, Charlize Theron is there up to play the character, and if they team together, that would be an awesome movie.
Wow. Huh. I mean, we all know
Charlie.
We all know that Charlie is a big badass now. I'm trying to think of some movies she's
Ultraviolet.
Done in the past.
No, not Ultraviolet, the other one, Aeon Flux.
Yeah, that may have proved it in the past, but she was super awesome in Mad Max, super cool. I don't really have too many preconceived notions of what Ms. Marvel should look like, so I don't really, it doesn't really matter to me who they cast in that role, but I totally think she could rock that role. They just need to bring someone in that can just be a total badass, you know. Like, this is going to be, I don't remember the date. What comes out first, Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel is afterwards. It is the third Marvel movie of 2018.
Okay, so it's after Wonder Woman. So I feel like the Captain Marvel movie and the Wonder Woman movie are just inevitably going to be compared to each other, because they're going to be our first standalone superhero movies with women on the lead. And I think it's super important just to make them as badass as possible. Don't even let the audience think about their gender. Like, let them think about them just being a total awesome superhero. So I think Charlie can totally pull that off. Like, she's like super cool in Mad Max. She was just awesome. Like, she was so cool. I'm totally hyped for this. Now, as for Angelina Jolie, I have no opinion because I haven't seen anything she's directed. I've heard of the movies that she's done. I think she did Honey. I think that was one of them, and she did, like, I think she's done another movie.
She's done
movie.
A couple, yeah.
So I can't speak to her directing ability because I just haven't seen any of her movies. But I'm sure she's got to be somewhat good if they're rumoring that she's going to be there, you know. I think we can trust, so far, we can trust Marvel with their decisions. I'm totally a go for Charlize Theron, so that's
awesome.
Yeah,
and definitely, I mean, Angelina was in Salt. I don't know if you saw Salt in 2010, where she was a spy. She was in Wanted, another comic book film.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, she's been good acting in action movies.
I think she has. I think if she was in these action, like, not starring in it, but working in it, I think she's very comfortable with that as well.
Yeah, she's familiar with the set of an action movie. That's
very
sure.
true. And I think, you know, again, getting Charlize Theron, you know, Aeon Flux, she did a lot of, I mean, it's a bad movie, but she, you know, still a badass person. Mad Max, awesome.
Oh, man, we could, that'd be kind of cool to see a Black Widow, Miss Marvel kind of team up. Maybe not necessarily a movie, but maybe there's a scene where they get together in, like, the Infinity War. That'd be super cool.
I'm excited to see what goes on with that.
Yeah, that's a cool rumor. Let's hope at least some of it pays off.
Next up, we got some Civil War rumors. This movie's coming out next year. I'm gonna start with the first one. We talked about Martin Freeman being cast. The rumor is he's a British minister who was actually on the phone with Ulysses Klaue in Ultron.
Okay, so try to refresh my memory of what happened in that conversation, because I don't really remember.
Klaue's talking to someone. He's like, I will send, you know, missiles back at you if you send me junk ones. Then he hangs up the phone. He's like, where were we, Mr. Minister?
Okay, so he wasn't really having a conversation with the minister. He was just, like, kind of going over to his call waiting.
So the theory on this is he's a British minister who's buying vibranium from Klaue because, you know, England doesn't have any superheroes. So they need to, you know, weaponize themselves with the most advanced weapons to save themselves from a worldwide superhero thing.
That could be kind of cool. And then who's that, that Baron Zemo or something?
Baron Zemo is played by, I forget his name, but I think he's going to be the big bad of the film.
Yeah, well, if Baron Zemo is still chilling over it in Germany, where I assume kind of Hydra still has some base of operations, maybe he's going to roll through Europe, steal some of Martin Freeman's vibranium on his way to the United States.
Yeah, Daniel Brühl, he'll play Baron Helmut Zero. Is that Zemo? Which is funny because in other movies he has a ties to Leviathan, which is that organization in Agent Carter. So it could tie into that as well.
That would be cool, and we definitely have another. I believe the next season of Agent Carter would
before.
That be that would be before. Okay, yeah, so Agent Carter could have some connections to Civil War. And that would make total sense because isn't Haley Atwell officially announced to be in Civil War?
Yeah, she's been on the set sharing photos and stuff like that.
Okay, so I'm assuming she's going to either have old lady makeup on or she's going to be in flashbacks.
Yeah, definitely. On top of that, there's a rumor that something big shows up in this.
Okay, so this is we're keeping this a secret. Mainly because I want it to be a secret. Because you're telling me that this could be a spoiler.
It could be. Again, all this is pure rumor, pure conjecture. But from a cast member that has already been announced and confirmed, and we've talked about it, something can come from that, and this is related to the comic books. Not the Civil War story, but the comic books in general.
Okay, so we are intentionally leaving this as vague as possible, just because if you've been listening to me on the past couple shows, which I hope you are, if you like the show and you're listening to this right now, I am kind of bummed that we don't get to be surprised in these movies anymore. You know, we know a lot of what's coming just because of set photos and things like that. You know, they can't hide everything. You know, they can't put up big black curtains, you know, outside to hide everything that's going on. So inevitably, we're going to learn things. So if this is something that we can possibly keep secret, that's what I want. You know, I miss going to a Marvel movie and then just like a character swooping in that I just had no idea was going to be in the movie. You know, we had like no casting announcements. So I want to keep this secret. You know, I think you you seem to bathe in them. You seem to love them, but also you are very up to date with kind of characters and their machinations. Yeah. So you can't really avoid it.
I wouldn't say that. This is something more like if I'm an avid comic reader, you're not. If you've read the comics, this is no surprise. Much like the Winter Soldier was not a surprise to anyone who's read the comic books.
Well, I would say you're an up to date comic reader. I'm just far behind on everything.
So I mean, if you knew Bucky becomes the Winter Soldier in the comic books, that revelation in the movie was not, it was still awesome, but it wasn't like, oh my god, my mind's blown.
Yeah,
but you know, for the average moviegoer, it definitely was something they were like, oh wow, that's awesome. So this is something along those lines as well, but we're not going to talk about it. We're going to move on. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, something else we're excited for. Are you excited for it?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I was definitely a fan of the first Guardians. I think it's the only Marvel movie that I own digitally. All the other Marvel movies that I'm a big fan of, I have on Blu-ray, but I decided to get this one on iTunes. So I definitely like it. If I went out and bought the movie, I definitely liked it.
Yeah, definitely. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is in production. By that, I mean pre-production. James Gunn shared the first draft of the script on, I think it was Instagram, showing it's complete.
And it's so teasing. It's just kind of like you just want to reach through the screen and just like almost just flip open to a random page and just see what you can get. Just like, just give me one page, Gunn. Just give me one page just in the middle of the script.
Yeah, no context. Give us something.
Yeah, and on this note, I don't remember where I saw it or when I saw it, but there were some reports that Chris Pratt had a chance to read the first draft, and I guess he started getting kind of teary-eyed towards the end of it, so I don't really know what that means, but he seems to connect to
it. Yeah, I mean, that's good when actors, they want to be hyped for the projects they work on, right? You don't want to have an actor who's not all in, and I think Chris Pratt is definitely all in on that film.
Yeah, but I think it's safe to say that we are definitely going to see Star-Lord's father in the second movie. I mean, it's not even like speculation, I don't think.
Well, they said it is, yeah.
They straight up mentioned like his lineage and stuff in the last movie. Maybe not the most sophisticated way to bring it up. They're just like, "Oh, we scanned your DNA just because we had it and we saw these weird things." It was kind of like a weird way to get there, but you know, no big deal. But yeah, I'm excited because if you've read some of the Marvel Now Guardians of the Galaxy comics, you know, you're already familiar with his dad. So I'm looking forward to see what's going to go on there.
I'll tell you now, that's not his dad in the movies. They've said that Jason of Spartax is not his father in the movies.
Oh, whoa, that's even more crazy now. Or maybe they're just saying that. Can we trust Marvel?
Well,
can we trust them? Are they just doing?
If James Gunn said it, I believe him.
Oh, James Gunn, you're such a cool guy.
He is.
Yeah, you guys should follow him on Instagram. I'm guessing you're pretty approval. I don't even know how I'm using my words right now. I'm pretty sure you approve of him because he's always sharing pictures of his pop vinyls.
Yeah, it was funny. He has the whole shelf of Guardians pop vinyls, but except Howard the Duck, and then a lot of people like guilted him into going out and buying it the other day.
he went and got it.
That was pretty funny. We're going to jump some more rumors here. Back to more rumors. Sorry, we got off rumors.
Yeah, rumors.
So, Daredevil Season 3 is coming out. Okay, Jason Statham was rumored to play Bullseye.
Okay, I think you said season three.
I'm sorry, season two. I there's so much going on. It's so exciting. season two of Daredevil, Jason Statham for Bullseye.
Yeah, this is. I would say this might be the biggest news this week for sure. I mean, this is a big casting rumor, and apparently there are some ramifications of it coming out. You'll have to tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so after this came out, I think it was on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he's like, nope, he's been withdrawn from these negotiations after this leaked.
Now, I think this is really silly. I mean, I don't really know what goes on in actors' heads, and I don't really know the machinations of coming to a deal. But, I mean, like, if someone came up to me and they're just like, hey, we like your acting. We would love you to play this villain in this awesome Netflix series. And then Jason Statham obviously liked the idea because if he was in talks, you know, he was drawn to it. But why would the leak of it, like, turn someone off that idea? I mean, people were going to find out eventually anyway. And I thought it was cool. I saw a lot of other people online thought it was would have been cool casting. So is he just being a diva, or is this just some sort of weird contract negotiation where it had to stay secret? I have no idea.
I think the first assumption is that the actor has any say whatsoever is pretty wrong. He has a manager who does all this. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the first initial reactions for this were super positive. Huge mm-hmm. positiveness. Jason Statham should be Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, two things could have happened. His agent could have seen this feedback and asked for more money.
Mm-hmm.
Or Marvel could have seen that and in fear of them asking for more money, said no.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, so weird,
it's very. What I understand is this is very businessy, not actually like his personal preference.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of makes sense on the surface because that's always something that's got to be in the back of your head when you think about anything TV related. TV is much more a slave to the budget than a movie is because a movie has such a wider reach and has so many different venues to recoup its money, its budget. But a TV show, they have to be really careful. You know, the Daredevil show was big and it was awesome, but it's not going to have the same type of audience reach that Jason Statham is used to getting with his movies. I mean, whether you think some of his movies are good or not, or whether you think Daredevil is better than some of his movies, like, those movies get all around the world. They make millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know, Jason Statham is a big name to be in Daredevil. I mean, he would almost overshadow every actor just when it comes to his IMDb credits, I'd think. But I think it would have been cool. But, you know, I guess the budget could have been a reason.
Again, we're going to talk about something later in our next rumor section about how, you know, Marvel Studios cinematic feels about the TV universe. They're not always on the same page, and that could have been something as well. But anyway, you know, I would have liked to see it. He's not. However, the next rumor off for Daredevil is something I definitely want to see. Mysterio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Mysterio is actually the person who put up the bounty to go have someone kill Elektra in the comic books. Or no, I'm sorry. Karen Page, who's actually already in the show. So for Mysterio to appear would kind of feel like a downfall for Deborah Ann Woll's Karen Page's character. Like,
yeah, maybe. But I think the biggest connection I have to Mysterio with Daredevil is the story arc that Kevin Smith wrote in his Daredevil comic, where it was basically Daredevil versus Mysterio for the whole novel. I don't remember what the name of that book was called off the top of my head. I'll have to look it up. But I can hear your Mac keyboard over there. It looks like
I'm definitely on it. Was it Guardian Devil?
That could have been it. I'm not too sure off the top of my head, but basically, Mysterio was definitely someone pulling the strings on Daredevil's life in this book, and it was really, really cool. Kevin Smith did a great job writing it, but it's really cool to see the connection that Mysterio can have with any character. You know, he really alters reality, and that's something, obviously, that's really important to any normal character that doesn't necessarily have a superpower. Just kind of more of an average dude. So I think that's cool. And also, you can see connections from Mysterio to Spider-Man. I think most people associate Mysterio with Spider-Man. And we all know that all these universes are connected. So maybe we could get some sort of connection there. I think the biggest geek fantasy I have right now is a Spider-Man meeting up with Daredevil. That would be so cool. I don't know whether I want to see it in a movie or maybe an episode of a TV show. Maybe somehow that'll mesh in the future. But that would be so cool. And maybe Mysterio could be the person that brings them together.
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned that. The Kevin Smith Daredevil story with Mysterio is the one where he kills Karen Page. So mm-hmm. that is the one, and that was kind of like... That's a big critically acclaimed thing because it's also illustrated by Joe Quesada, the current... one of the heads at Marvel Comics. So mm-hmm. I think that would be great for them to bring that in. I think that would be a good story, like an evolution.
I don't think they would kill her character, though. She plays a lot of really important roles in a lot of storylines for Daredevil, and I feel like killing her off in season two would just eliminate a lot of cool stories that they could do. I mean, they might really bring her down to a very low level because she's a character that's known to have a drug problem, so maybe that could come up when Mysterio comes
around.
It
could be. I mean, they're bringing in Elektra. They may need to swap female leads. I can't say anything, but I mean, that's it. However, this Mysterio rumor ties into the next one with Mr. Fear showing up in season two of this as well.
Yeah, don't feel bad if you don't know who he is, because I didn't know who
Mr.
he was.
Mr. Fear is essentially Marvel's Scarecrow. He has a gas. Okay. He was trying to recreate something and ended up creating a gas that induces fear in people. So it's Scarecrow. Uh-huh. So we know Mysterio uses gases to induce hallucinations. Uh-huh. Why would Mr. Fear's fear gas somehow be tied to Mysterio as well?
Are you telling me that there's a gas factory somewhere in Hell's Kitchen that's going to tie into Daredevil? Just one big gas factory making all these really horrible gases that no one really knows
about. Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing Daredevil can't probably sense, right? Like, by the time he senses it, it's too late.
Maybe if it's an odorless gas, because he can pretty much smell
it. Yeah, but if he smelled something, like, poisonous, at that point, it'd be too late, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's just like, I smell fear.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, so that's our rumors for Daredevil Season 2. We're going to probably get Bullseye, probably get Mysterio, probably get Mr. Fear. And I'm ready for it.
I would think out of all those villains, I think Bullseye's. I would say almost 100% gonna happen.
Yeah, he teased that in the first season.
Yeah, because I mean, if they're casting him, we're probably gonna get him. It might not be Statham. I think he might come back around, hopefully, but we'll have to see what
happens. Yeah, definitely. So sometimes we share some photos, and there you've got mm-hmm. this HH looking thing in the bottom. That's Heroic uh-huh. Hollywood. I found that out finally. Which is the guy who used to do Latino Review, who did all the leaks in. Same guy, just does his own thing now. So what we have coming up here is some speculation from Inside Marvel that he got. And this is like not like him just speculating. This is like stuff he got from Inside on things that could happen.
Man, we got to figure out who this secret guy is. Maybe we can get him on the show and like alter his voice or
right,
something.
Right, and then... We could be popular eventually.
as cool
right.
as he is.
So there's 5 points to walk away with from this speculation thing. So first off, Marvel Cinematic Universe sees the Netflix series as a necessary evil.
Now, what does that mean,
so,
evil?
Like, Kevin Feige, he's like, they didn't really want to do them, but they see them as something to tell stories for their smaller characters without having to create movies for them.
Okay.
It's, you know, movies versus television studios, they don't get along, right?
I can see that.
The DC Universe told Arrow to stop using Harley Quinn because of her movie coming up. They don't want two versions, which is sad that they're not tied together. You know, Supergirl isn't going to exist in Batman versus Superman world either.
Yeah, we don't even really know where that's supposed to exist. I think that's still kind of
up in the air. Yeah, it's by itself. What they want to do is tie it to Flash and Arrow, but they won't even let them do that. But the way Marvel looks at it, it's a necessary evil. They need to do them to tell smaller stories and do the underground like work of mm-hmm. the Marvel Universe without sacrificing their bigger ones.
I mean, maybe that's just Kevin Feige. Maybe he just can't look past, you know, the Hollywood movie spectrum. You know, I would assume maybe people that work in movies could possibly look down on television. But, I mean, like, this is a new renaissance in TV. I personally love TV more than I love movies. So I really hope that they don't divert resources away from these TV shows, because I'm in love with these TV shows.
I don't think so. The way if he used it for his necessary evil, I think he's okay with it. He just doesn't want to be involved. Okay. Next up, we're gonna go through these here, because these are all rumors. We don't want to spend too much time on them. ABC is working on a Cloak and Dagger series, a Miss Marvel series, not Captain Marvel, and a Hulk prequel TV series.
Huh. Okay.
Cloak and Dagger. Yeah, I get it. It's like a kid's show, not kids, but like young adult. Miss Marvel. That'd be more young adult kids as well. And the Hulk prequel is really what surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, would this be pre Gamma Ray? Would this be pre Hulk? Would just this be a Bruce Banner TV show?
It's kind of like the old Hulk show right after he turns. What happens between then and like the first Incredible Hulk movie, while he's on the run?
I feel like that is just not true. I'm just gonna go ahead and think that's not gonna happen, because of the reason is every time I hear about the production schedule of these Avengers movies is like the very last thing to get finished is the Hulk, because he's so resource intensive, because he's all CG. You know, how do you even do that on a TV production schedule? I just don't even think it's possible.
I don't think they'll show the Hulk at all. I think they'll minimize that at all costs.
Yeah, and I don't want to watch a Hulk TV show without the Hulk. You know, keep the Hulk in the movies. He does really, really well in a team, you know, just wrecking shit. So I'm not going to see that in a TV show, so why am I going to invest in that?
Yeah, no clue. Netflix is working on a couple of shows as well, Blade, Ghost Rider, and Punisher, who I've said need their own shows for years.
Yeah, that would be super cool. However,
they fear they may not hold their own series, like a show about just Ghost Rider or...
You think maybe what are they called, like the Dark Defenders or something like that? Or am I just
I think you're making that up. There's like the Thunderbolts, but that's not them either.
Yeah, they need a name. They need a name to come together. But it'd be cool to see.
I would
them
like
all.
To see like a miniseries. Like they each get 4 episodes of a 12 to 13 episode show. Yeah, but that could again, be cool. I think they're right. I don't think Ghost Rider can hold his own show for 13 episodes. Yeah, Punisher maybe, Blade maybe, but you know, we've seen so many of them.
Now out of all of these, I think Blade could probably hold the TV show the best, just because like I just like to imagine him like week by week going around hunting different classes of vampires and stuff like that. And vampires are always shifty. They're always very business corporate-y. You know, I could kind of see them working on some sort of master plan that he has to defeat. The Punisher, I just kind of see him like fighting like really bad mobsters. You know, I'm trying to see how you differentiate that from other things, just other kind of just more broader TV shows. You know, where's the superhero component of Punisher? You know, we have superhero components of Blade and Ghost Rider. You know, what's the component to Punisher? He's just a badass dude that likes to just murder people. So that's just seems a little standard.
I think he's a darker version of Daredevil. Daredevil doesn't really have any superpowers either.
But he like he does flips and stuff, and he can like sense things. And Punisher is just a dude with guns, and that's still cool. But like you said, I don't think he can hold down 13 episodes.
I mean, Blade had a TV show on Spike, and he didn't hold it. So I agree with him.
Well, it was probably just a crappy TV show.
Yeah, so I agree with him. I like to see something where they're together.
That would be so cool. And I would love to see I'd love to see Ghost Rider on Netflix. Yeah,
definitely. Next rumor, which we've kind of talked about last week, is Elektra is coming to Daredevil. We knew this was going to happen. They were casting for it. I don't expect it to be a surprise. So yeah. Lastly, the Defenders, the movie where all these Marvel shows culminate in, they want Doctor Strange involved.
Now that makes total sense to me, because if you paid attention in the first Daredevil TV show, you started to see those underlying connections with the mystical world. You know, you had I don't remember her name, but the older mobster
Madame
lady
Gao.
Yeah, she kind of just had that crazy like kung fu punch, and then she just mysteriously disappeared on that rooftop. She's got some magic going on in the works in the background, and that's totally going to connect to Doctor Strange. And I think that's where the big baddie is going to come from. They're going to need some big baddie that all these guys are going to have to team up to fight, and it's going to be mystical.
Well, if you look at episode Stick ends with him talking to a guy with the swinging, like, you know, smoke, and his name is Stone, which is related to a Doctor Strange mystical thing, and Iron Fist. So I think it's there. They need to do it. Just go ahead and get him in. But this, you know, how the movie universe feels with the TV universe may be what prevents that from happening in the end.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's let them all intermingle. You know, it's all for the common good, so just let them kind of power.
That's right, I agree. So we're going to work on Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Your favorite part of the show. Second favorite, actually. Yeah. Second favorite to TMNT2. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Some news here. The second anthology film, which just lost its director, is to focus on Boba Fett-Han Solo rivalry.
Yeah, so I knew that the Boba Fett thing was going to happen, but I'm really curious about this Han Solo rivalry part. You know, I feel like that kind of is starting to set up what time that this might happen in. I think some people were kind of expecting maybe a Boba Fett prequel.
Well, this is a prequel. There would still be a prequel. It would exist probably between, of course, between episodes 3 and 4. And Han Solo's, a lot of his life is coming to life in the comic books. This week they had a big reveal that a lot of people are kind of up in arms in, but not really. And I think they really need to shed some light on Han Solo's, like, younger smuggler life, where he's kind of like the Indiana Jones of the universe. So I can see this totally working out. And he needs a foil. Maybe they team up, but maybe they don't. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, I'm still trying to figure out where they set this in the timeline. So is it going to be a younger Han Solo, or is it going to be old Harrison Ford?
No, it's prequel. It's between 3 and 4, like I said.
Okay, but then, like, you can't make Han Solo look younger.
You don't get Harrison Ford. Like,
you just get somebody else to play him?
You're not getting the original Boba Fett to play him.
I mean, Boba Fett's always been under a mask.
Episode 2. They put a face to him. They put a face to him.
Yeah, but it was a kid.
They had the adult. Really, they had the adult version. He is Jango Fett's clone.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Like, they're gonna have to recast both of them regardless. But I think
it doesn't bother me too much. But I feel like Han Solo won't play as big of a part in this movie as they might be hinting at.
I think they need a foil. Boba Fett can't hold his own. I don't think he can do his own either. I think
there's plenty of other threats that they could throw at Boba Fett. But anyway, I think everyone's excited to see Boba Fett no matter what. That's super cool. I want to see him fly around in his jetpack with all his little gadgets and blasters.
I'm probably going to be in the minority on that. I don't care. Like, I wouldn't care if I saw a Boba Fett movie.
You don't care about Boba Fett, but he's going to make such a cool action.
His mystery is what works so well for him, and they've just slowly stripped that away over time, and it's just not as it's not done. I think it's gone. They need to pick somebody new.
I think everyone honestly just wants to know how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. So as long as they include that in there, that would be interesting. How does he get out of that?
The latest news, which is actually more news, is Obi-Wan Darth Maul trilogy is kind of in the works there.
Explain this to me. I don't even know what is going on here.
That's really all I know, that there's an Obi-Wan / Darth Maul trilogy of films being planned, and they would star Ewan McGregor again. And this would...
So is it going to be like an Odd Couple team up?
No. Darth Maul did not die in episode 1. He lived through the dark side of the Force, and he has mechanical legs.
Yeah, I think I saw like a clip on YouTube from one of the animated series where he kind of gets pieced.
The Clone
back
Wars is canon, so he's alive, and Obi-Wan has to do something in between episode 3 and 4, and Ewan McGregor, you know, one of the better. I think he did a great job playing Obi-Wan across those three movies. He's one of the solid good parts. That it would be kind of like, you know, the continuation of Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul. Like, he killed my master. Darth Maul's like, well, you cut me in half.
Can they stretch that into 3 movies?
I don't think they could. I don't, but that is the current talks.
I think that could possibly make a cool anthology film, because there's still one more anthology film that was announced that hasn't been revealed.
Yeah, my guess is they probably misinterpreted that it's a trilogy, but they meant anthology film 3. And not 3 anthology films.
Yeah, the trilogy. Yeah. Yeah, that could be cool, though, because Darth Maul was basically the most redeeming part of that first episode 1, because he was so cool. Everyone loved John Williams' score of their fight. That was just a really cool part. So that could be cool. I would be okay with seeing, like, a cybernetic Darth Maul. That would be super
rad. And they have history.
And I think Ewan McGregor, he wants some redemption, because, I mean, any sort of bad acting that happened in that in those prequels was due to George Lucas's poor directing, you know. So Ewan McGregor, we could possibly see what the prequels could have been when we see an actor come back with for some redemption.
Definitely. Another thing they're talking to redoing is Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to kind of tell me how this fits into the in the scope of the show, just because I haven't seen Big Trouble in Little China. It's in my Netflix instant queue. I don't really know what it's about. It looks crazy. It looks like a movie I gotta see, but I don't really know anything.
I haven't seen it either. So I thought you did. I was kind of banking on that. The remake is with The Rock to play the main character, which was done by what? Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think speaking of The Rock, maybe we should just roll past
this. We probably
this
segment, will. I was banking on you have seen it, because I see a lot, like, you know, in the nerd culture, comic book stores, like, this is a big thing, apparently. I just don't care enough to watch it. So yeah,
I think we'll have to roll past
definitely
this.
Definitely we'll be doing that right now. So we're on to Assassin's Creed. We've talked about this a couple times over the past couple months. The first promo poster has landed at a Comic-Con this weekend. And it's nothing really. It's a bird with the Assassin's Creed logo.
Yeah, it's not much. We've talked about the video game stuff in the past, so I guess to reiterate in case no one's up on it, I think video game movies are due for their kind of new resurgence. They're big properties that make a lot of money. I mean, video games make more money than a comic book ever has. So it logically makes sense to turn them into a summer blockbuster. And was it Michael Fassbender supposed to be the lead in this movie? So I think all this stuff is starting to check the right boxes. So I'm excited for the video game movies to finally come through and make a big wave. And I think we're definitely going to include them in this show, for sure. I think it definitely falls in line with the type of crowd that likes to see these comic book movies. The Warcraft movie. I don't know much about Warcraft, but I know that's coming out.
We've talked about that with the image.
Yeah, so I think Warcraft might be the start of this whole thing. You know, if I don't know. I don't understand how stocks work. I'm not an investor. But if there was some sort of stock portfolio out there that kind of I could put money on video game movies, I don't think that exists, and I'm sure there's people out there that are laughing at me right now. But I think I would throw some money and invest in video game movies if I could.
Yeah, you have to pick the right property and go with that.
Yeah, I want a diverse portfolio. I just want to touch on all of them a little bit. You know, I got to diversify my bonds.
Do. And you can diversify your bonds by putting money in TMNT 2.
Oh, God. We're just going to keep bringing this up.
I specifically had to look this one up for this one.
Keep the joke going.
Yeah, so Bumblebee from Transformers will cameo in this film. I think it's not the character itself, but someone playing the character in a costume.
Or I think it's honestly just going to be a yellow Camaro just on
the sidewalk. Well, they said that it's someone dressed up as a transforming like Camaro like costume.
Oh, maybe they do buy one of those street corners not Hollywood, but in New York, where there's characters dressed up. So yeah. you just had to find a way to bring TMNT to.
I did episode, just for you. Every week. It's all well since both properties are Michael Bay films. It's really not that far of a stretch.
Man, so yeah, so that's the news this week. I'm glad we got to touch on TMNT.
Well, that's the last thing. So now we're up for trivia time, round two.
Yeah, let's
so the couple ways to get a hold of us: direct message us on Twitter, email us the answers, or just, you know, text us if you know our phone numbers.
How did last week
last week we
out?
Have one almost winner and two runner-ups.
let's get those questions and
so
answers
the first
there.
Question answer is who married the Scarlet Witch. The answer is the Vision. Next up, which superhero joined the Guardians of the Galaxy in the 2012 Marvel Now series? Was it Iron Man?
Well, I think we might have worded it as which Avenger.
I'm not really sure how that question was. I've lost it in the stack now. And lastly, was true or false, the Hulk was known as Joe Fix-It for a while, and it's true.
Yeah, I had to look this one up. I googled Joe Fix-It, and I just see the Hulk in a giant, like, mobster costume. It's like, Marvel, what did you do?
Yeah, so I give the biggest winner we have is Jacob Henshaw. He was, I actually gave him the answers while we were playing Destiny this week. Okay. Second up, we have Quentin.
Honorable mention, Quentin. He got the first one right. Yeah, but I believe he put down Miss Marvel for number two, and she does technically make an appearance, but I think we were looking for Iron Man because I think that's kind of that, classic Avenger.
Well, right it there. Was that was all new Marvel Now, which was not part of the Marvel Now. It's semantics, but yeah, because Venom also joins as well. But that was close. And secondly, Andrew Kintz, who also told me on Destiny, he got one of them right as well.
Yeah, it sounds like no one really knows who Joe Fixit is, though.
So, we're going to give you three more this week. All right, okay. So this one is going to tie into Daredevil. What ninja weapons does Daredevil's ally, lover, and occasional foe Elektra commonly wield? And it says multiple choice. A, size. B, nunchucks. C, katana swords. A, B, or C on that one. Great. So next we're going to go with something a little more Spider-Man-y. Okay. Dr. Michael Morbius transforms into what kind of supernatural creature?
Ooh, okay. I know
that's
that one.
That's a Spider-Man one. And lastly, we're going to try to find a true or false one here for us. Those are always fun, you know. Sorry, I apologize here. I have them all here, and I'm trying to figure out where the true and false ones are.
We are professionally prepared for this
episode. I didn't like the first one I saw, so I'm trying. I'm not making them easy, but I'm trying to make them like fun.
Editor's discretion is what you're doing.
Okay, true or false? In the original version, the L in SHIELD acronym stood for logistics.
Ooh. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. Now do your best. Don't Google these. Let your nerd cred speak for itself. That's what we're looking for.
Yes, and we'll definitely go over those next week. And like I said, we're working on prizes. I've got some stuff in the making to do for prizes.
Yeah, and either way, it's fun. I think it's cool to kind of touch back on these next week. You know, we're going to grow our audience knowledge of Marvel week by week.
That's right. So I'm going to cut this short. My mom's here. Apparently, she showed up. I don't know when that happened. But
damn moms, they just want to congratulate you all
the time. They just want to show me unconditional love. How dare they? So where can they find you this week, Mike?
Well, they can find me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or Instagram. And you can check out my webcomics at pickledcomics.com. I got a couple in the works right now. You'll definitely be seeing some more comics from me in the
next couple
weeks.
I look forward to those every week.
Dude, man, where can they find you?
If they
want to
find me, they can follow me at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N on Twitter. Comic UI News. So news.comicui.com. We also have a Facebook and Twitter, so just search Comic UI and you can find me there.
Cool. And as always, please visit superheroslate.com. That is the best way to connect to everything that we have out there. Please, pretty please, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you're super awesome and you're super cool, you can review the show on iTunes. That is the best way to get new people to find our show. And we're also up on YouTube. Chris makes really awesome videos for us up there. So if in case you don't want to go to the website and the show notes and click the links, you can watch the video on YouTube and you can see the photos magically pop up right for you. It's super cool and he works really hard on them. So that's super cool. So, you know, we're on Tumblr, Twitter, we're everywhere. We're trying to reach the masses. So just go to superheroslate.com. That's where you're going to find everything in a nice wrapped little bow. So that's the best place. Superheroslate.com. And superheroslate@gmail.com is our email address if you ever just want to talk to us.
That's right. So don't forget, we like interaction. So tweet at us, email us, talk to us, whatever. We have a good time.
Yeah. Man, so I guess you got to go talk to
him. I do. So I will catch you guys next week.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe!